Okay, we are in the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Beis Amid. What? Oh, Yud Beis Amid Beis.
Okay.
12B. We discussed how the world exists going down, what the world rests on. Now, and we explained it a number of different interpretations, what it really means, what are the foundations of the spiritual foundations of the world, etc., etc. Now we're going to the Rakia. We're going upwards, heavenlywards. We're going to see what the heavens are depending on. We looked at everything from the bottom up. Now we're going to look at it from the top down, as we will see. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnei Rakim Hain. There are two heavens. Again, this is to the best of our understanding what that means. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim, Hain LaHashem Elokecha, behold to Hashem your God, Hashemayim are the heavens, Ushmei Hashemayim, and the heavens of the heavens. So the heavens is one of the Rakim, and the heavens of the heavens is the second one. That means there's two. So there's two heavens. Reish Lakish Shamar, Reish Lakish says, Shiva, there are seven heavens. Seven realms of existence that are of the higher spiritual nature. Ve'eluhei, now he's going to list the seven names of the seven heavens. Then he's going to say what you find in these seven heavens. Ve'eluhei, this is the list of the seven. These are the names. Vilon is number one. Rakia. Now, vilon literally means a curtain. A curtain is a vilon. Rakia, sky. Shchakim is translated in English as mills. Zavol means a residence. That's four. Five, ma'on is an abode. Machon is an arsenal. And seven is arvos. Aravos is plains. Those are the names of the seven heavens. So these, the Ben Yehoyada, you see in the notes there, says that the two rabbis don't really argue. One says there's two, one says there's seven. So because the first rabbi divides these seven into two groups, meaning to say, there's one group, those that can be seen. What are the ones that can be seen? That's what we can see with our power of astronomy. And there are those that can't be seen. Those are the spiritual heavens. Therefore, he says, there's two heavens. There's the heavens, you look up, you see something there, and then there's beyond, metaphysical. Reish Lakish is enumerating on each one, especially of the ones that are beyond. Okay? Ramban, on the Torah, he says that the word Shemayim is used in two different ways in the account of creation. The first verse that says, Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ves-ha-aretz, that's the supernal heavens. Those are the ones that are beyond. That's got the angels and all the spiritual entities. And the Torah doesn't really go into detail about them. It's just saying, you know, those two are creations. Any other references of heavens are the astronomic heavens. So you see, and that's what the Torah is able to describe easier. So therefore, there's two realms of heavens. There's the realms of the heavens that we see, the realms of heavens that we don't see, and of the seven, almost all of them are those realms that you don't see. So that's what we're going to now go into some detail as to what is found in these seven heavens. And that's why we, on Yom Kippur, right, when we say at the end of Ne'ilah, Hashem Hu Ho Elokim, seven times, that's reflecting on the fact that the divine presence is now ascending through the seven heavens and is leaving. There's the Hashem's presence, which was very close on Yom Kippur, was down mamish here. So now it's ascending through the seven heavens and leaving, as it were. So that's the seven. So let's now take a look at what they are. Vilon. Okay. So Vilon, we said, was the curtain. So what does the Vilon do? Einam mishamish klum. It serves no purpose. Okay? Ella, except nichna shachris v'yotze arvis. It enters its enclosure in the morning and emerges to cover the sky in the evening.
pretty important purpose.
I'm not exactly sure what it's. It enters in the morning, right?
It opens up in the morning.
I guess so, but you know, I guess it just opens up. It's a curtain.
Yeah, it's a curtain. It opens up.
But I'm saying the curtain doesn't really do anything. There's things that do things. In other words, send energies down, you know, do all kinds of other things. Here it's basically open and close, right? And thereby, by opening and closing, it renews the work of creation every day. Let's see what the commentary says. When the heaven called curtain is rolled up, then the light of the sun is allowed to reach the earth. When the curtain is spread out between the sun's light and the earth becomes darkened. So that's the act of renewing the creation every day. So he says, just as a distinction was made between light and darkness during the 6 days of creation, so too, God confirms this distinction each and every day. Okay.
Who said this?
What do you mean, who?
Is it rabbi?
It's the commentary.
Well, here's my question.
Rashi, Tosfos. Yeah, the question is, whoa, what happened over here? We just lost it here. The question is, what's going on over here? There's a curtain? You know, the sun's in the same place all the time. The earth rotates.
Exactly.
So depending on its rotation. So, you know, what does it mean that the curtain...
The curtain is the rotation of the earth.
All right, well, that's an interesting type of shemaim. It's a different, an interesting type of firmament. Okay. But, you know, okay, you have to know, this is all code. Whatever we're reading here, no matter what our soul is going to say, it's all code. So we have really no idea what it's talking about. But that's what the first one enables to do. So there's nothing really that it does. Now, but the truth is, it's really the rotation of the earth that does it. If you really think about it, it's the, because the earth is constantly, different parts of the earth has sunlight. There's never any part with no sunlight, right? So what do you mean there's a curtain? There's no curtain, it's just the spinning. So, you know, a lot of people suggest that the rabbis and more didn't know anything about astronomy, which is the furthest thing from the truth. They knew everything about astronomy. But they're writing certain codes, and we're just, you know, just because, let's put it this way, just because this is the way things appear to us, you know, doesn't mean there aren't any other types of realities that we haven't understood yet. So that's how the Gemara explains it, you know, and we just have to accept that we don't understand it. That's all I can say. I can't say more than that. Shenemar, how do we know all this? It says, Hanote Chadok Shamayim, he spreads the heavens like a thin curtain, and stretches them like a tent to dwell in. So we see that there's a heaven that functions as nothing more than a spread out cloth. That's all it is. So it just spreads out and closes. Whatever that means. Okay, that is the vilon. That is the curtain. Okay, next. Rakia, that's the second heaven. All right, we said that's the second heaven. So what is in the second heaven? Shebo Chama Ulavana Kochavim Umazolos Kfun. Okay, the second heaven has the sun, the moon, the stars, and the fixed constellations. Okay, that one we at least understand. Okay. Okay, we can skip all this because it doesn't like that. Pshat. Okay, so it seems that the first heaven is below the second heaven, right? Because what's in the second heaven, that's pretty clear what's in the second heaven. The first heaven is opening up the curtain to the second heaven. Okay, so we just have to deal with the curtain issue. Shenema, how do we know that that's what's going on in the second heaven? It says, Vayitein Osam Elokim Barakia Shemayim. This is in the fourth day of creation. It says, Hashem put them in the Rakia of the Shemayim. What did he put in the Rakia? The sun and the moon, the great luminaries and the stars. He put over there. So that's in the second one. Okay, so the second one is one we clearly see. Somehow the first one is enabling us to either see or not see what's in that heaven. And We just have trouble associating that with a curtain versus a rotation. Okay, now we go to number three. Shechakim. Now, I don't know in English, mill. Well, lishchok means to grind, literally. Spika samamanim, the grinding of the medicine. Shechok, so a mill, mills. Anyway, so what's in the third firmament? Shebo rechaim omdos. Look at this. Again, well, who knows what this means. There are millstones over there in the third heaven. Vitochnos mon letzadikim, and they grind out mon for the righteous. Whatever that means. Shenemar, and that's what the pasuk says. Vayitzav shchokim mimal. Hashem commanded the mills above. Vidalse shemayim pasach, and he opened the doors of the heavens. Vayamter alehem mon lechol, and he rained mon down upon them to eat, and he gave them heavenly grain. Okay, again, I don't have no idea what that means. Okay, Zvul is the fourth one. Zvul is called a residence, which is what? Shebo Yerushalayim u'beis ha'migdash u'mizbech boni. In which, now we're talking about the heavenly Yerushalayim. There's a concept that there's a heavenly Jerusalem that corresponds to the physical Jerusalem below. There's a heavenly temple above, corresponding to heavenly temple below. So in that fourth realm, it's the heavenly city of Yerushalayim, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash, and the heavenly altar that's built up there. And the idea being that those temples really are paralleling what's going down here. So if it's destroyed down here, it's destroyed up there. To what extent it is destroyed. Okay, now, that's what's going on in the, what's that, the third we said, or the fourth?
Fourth.
And what else is going on over there? U'michol ha'sar ha'gadol, and the angel Michal, who's the great prince, Omeid u'makriv alav korban, and he stands and offers korbanos over there. What's going on over there? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, bano banisi beis zavul, that's the word we're looking for, zavul, loch, I have surely built a house of residence for you, machon l'shivt ha'lamim, the foundation for your dwelling forever. So this is when Shlomo Melech did the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash downstairs. So there's a hint over there to the idea of the Zvul that's upstairs as well. Okay, now, the point is though, how do you know that this is actually a Shemaim, that it's called a Shemaim? There's no reference to Shemaim, while in other psukim, the other psukim, it's used the word, let's say, shchakim and shemayim. There's no word shemayim, so I don't know if it's called a shemayim. U'minolan dikri shemayim, how do you know that this fourth realm called residence is also called shemayim? Dichsiv, as it says, habeit mishemayim ure'ei, look down from heaven and see. What are we going to see? Now look where it's from. Mizvul kodshech avasiv tartecha. From your residence of holiness and splendor. So you see the word Zvul. Say, look down from the Shemayim, from your Zvul. So that's the number four, Rakia. Number five, Ma'on is called the abode. What's going on in that fifth one? Shebo Kitos Shel Malachei Hashares Sheomro Shira Balayla. There are groups of Malachim who do what? They are singing songs at night. Okay, so that's where the angels are dwelling. Okay. Ve'chashos bayom, but they keep quiet in the day. Mipnei kvod m'shosol, out of respect for the Jewish people. Why? Because the Jewish people are saying praises in the day. So the Jewish people are saying praises in the morning and the day. So they give respect to the Jews and they don't sing. Look what the commentator says. Where the angels utter song during the day, their songs emanating amidst absolute pure knowledge would outshine those of Jewish people trapped in a materialistic world. Still is precisely the praise of lowly corporeal humans that Hashem desires. In other words, at night when we're generally asleep, again, it's the same problem as we had before. There are people that are awake all the time. So that's another story.
You say the world wouldn't exist if there weren't people studying Torah.
That's studying Torah, but this is singing praises.
Yeah.
So they sing praises in the day and not at, in the night and not at day, because we're singing praises in the day. If they would sing praises, it would outshine our prayers and totally would almost be ignored. So, but the fact is, as wonderful as their praises are, Hashem wants praises from human beings who have free will choice not to praise Hashem. So again, we have the same problem. You know, then the angel shouldn't be praising at all, because you know, there's always a time where people are davening. That's what I'm saying. So unless you say, now there is a whole understanding that really the only part of the world that Hashem is interested in is Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole discussion about that in the mystical writings. Hashem talks about planet Earth. He's only interested in one part, and that's Eretz Yisrael. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else is, you know, we don't belong here. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's only day and there's night in Eretz Yisrael. And what goes on outside of Eretz Yisrael is only practice. It's not the real thing. So it's, if it's night in Eretz Yisrael, it's Taka night. And that's it. And Hashem's, you know, it. Not to say that what we do isn't of any value, but there's a famous Ramban on the Torah that says that all the mitzvahs we do now are only a practice. You know, obviously, it doesn't mean only a practice, but compared to when Mashiach will come, their value will be much more. So it could be the same thing over here. Now, how do we know this is all true? That this is where the angels sing in this realm. Shenemer, the Pasuk says, Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chasdo, in the day Hashem will command his loving kindness, Ubalaila Shira Imi. And in the night, his song is with me. Meaning to say, so what do you mean Hashem is commanding his loving kindness? What loving kindness is he commanding in the day? So he says, during the day, God will command the angels to be silent, so as to a kindness to those who need it. Right? That's us. During the night, the song sung by the angels is together with my human song, this is David HaMelech, which I sang during the day. Okay, it's interesting. Lutzado says that all the actions and interactions of heaven take place through song. Okay, anyway, that stuff is way too... Okay, next. So now we got the topic of, you know, that the malachim are singing at night only. So now we're going to throw in something on the side, a little digression, because this was... Was this Reish Lakish? Well, this is from Reish Lakish. I'm Reish Lakish. Anyone who learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meishech Olav Chut Shel Chesed Bayom, Hashem will spread over with him a thread of kindness during the day. That's literally, draws a thread of grace over him. In other words, Hashem will be nice to him during the day. What does it mean exactly? It means God makes him appear charming in the eyes of other people. So the word chesed, the way he's interpreting, is like charm. Okay, so therefore it's a good thing to learn Torah at night. If you learn Torah at night, if you need things to happen in the day, people like you more, and they look favorably upon you, and you are the recipient of kindnesses. That's one way. The Marshal explains, when a person stays up all night, he is generally irritable the next morning, and this is apparent in his look. Everyone stays up all night to learn Torah, he's blessed next morning with a radiant countenance. Okay, so I guess Shavuos morning, we'll see. We'll see Shavuos morning. Okay, how do we know that indeed if a person engages in Torah at night, that Hashem gives him this threaded kindness the next day? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chasa. In the day Hashem will command his chesed, his kindness, his charm. And why is that so? Why does he do it? Let's read it. Continue. Uma tam yoma mitzav Hashem chasto. Why does Hashem command his charm in the daytime? We have to read the next rest of the pasuk. Mishum, because the pasuk then says, Ubalaylo shiro imi, because in night his song of Torah was with me. Okay, there was Torah is also referred to a song at the end of Parshas Hazinu. Hashem says, write this song for me. And that's the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah. So Torah should be like a song. And that's Reish Lakish's Rebbe. Look over here. Reish Lakish's mentor, Rebbe Yochanan, held that the song of Torah exists only at night. Even though the mitzvah is to learn both day and night, a person gains most of his learning only at night. Therefore, he who wishes to attain the crown of the Torah should take care with all of his nights and not waste even one of them through sleep, food, drink, casual conversation, alike. Rather, should gain in the study of Torah and words of wisdom. So most people at night don't learn any Torah. So, but night. So that's why it's important that to learn at night. That is the more powerful learning because it's harder. You're tired, so you're really showing what you value when you do things that when you're tired. Okay, so this is one way we understand Reish Lakish. The Ika de Amri, and though there are others who say a little bit different, a different version of what Reish Lakish said. Amar Reish Lakish, Kol Ha'isek B'Torah B'Olam Hazeh, anyone who engages in learning Torah in this world, which is Shehu Doma L'Laila, which is like night, because it's not clear. Life in this world is not clear. Dark means lack of clarity. So what happens then? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ishek Olav Chut Shel Chesed L'Olam Haba. Hashem will spread a thread of charm, of kindness, in the next world. And what's the next world? Shehu Doma L'Yom. That's like the daytime. And now we're going to use the same pasuk. Shenemar says, Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chas. Hashem will command his kindness in the day, which means in Olam Haba. Why? Because Ubalayla Shiraimi, because the person was singing his praises, songs of Torah, to me at night, which meant in this world. So obviously, this is a very, very important thing. So not from this. The second interpretation is a little bit different because it expands on the first. First one saying only if you learn Torah at night do you have charm the next day. Now he's saying if you learn Torah any time in your lifetime, which is considered night, you're given this charm in the next world. So all Torah is helpful for this. Well, if we see that Torah is so helpful, now we're going to see the flip side of this. What about a person who's not engaged in learning Torah? Amar Rav Levi says, Kala Paisek Medivre Torah, whoever stops his learning Torah, Ve'oisek Bedivre Sicha, and now he stops to engage in trivial remarks. In other words, the guy's learning Torah, and then in the middle he just stops to start schmoozing. He's learning with his Chavrusa, they're learning, and then the Yetzirah gets them to, oh, did you hear about so and so and such, right in the middle of learning? So you stop that, or let's say your cell phone rings, and you pick up your cell phone because there's something much more important than the learning of Torah. Because your wife has to tell you what to pick up at the grocer, but you couldn't call her after your learning and saying, what should I pick up from the grocer? To think about that, you know, I'm not talking if you're a doctor on call and, you know, you're supposed to be working and you're trying to squeeze some learning in. Saying this is your time to learn. All of a sudden the cell phone goes off. Oh, this is much more important than learning Torah. Well, that's not good. Machilin oso, whatever this means, gachale resamim. They will feed him rasam wood coals. In other words, he's going to burn. Okay. Look at the comment. Coals, I don't even know what rasam wood is. Coals made out of rasam wood are especially dangerous because long after they appear to be extinguished on the surface, they continue to burn within. Rasam wood coals are a fitting punishment for this person. After it appeared that the fire of his evil inclination had been completely extinguished as he was engaged in his Torah study, usually when you learn Torah, that means the Yetzer is not working. You put the fire out. The Yetzer is like a fire. So learning Torah is the antidote to the Yetzer. So it looks like when you're learning Torah, the Yetzer is out. The coal is out. But look what happens. The fire flared up again through his chatter and demonstrated it was still burning actively. You have some coals, they look like they're out, but they're not out. The rasam coal looks like it's out, but it's not out. Right? So that's what happens. Whatever mystically this means, he's fed these rasam coals. He's going to burn for this for stopping. So you're wondering, well, he'd be better off not learning at all, you'd figure. Well, if you're not learning, it's even worse. Okay? But you have to realize that the message of this little piece is that when you are learning Torah, you don't stop learning Torah. That doesn't mean you're learning Torah 24 hours. You have to go to work, you have to do other things, you have to eat. But when you are learning Torah, that's all you're doing is learning Torah. Okay, now if you fall asleep when you're learning Torah, that's not as bad. It says only when you're engaging in conversation. That means you're premeditatedly stopping from learning Torah. That's the point. So you're not showing its value. So the HR has come back up. So you get these rasam calls. How do we know all this? Shenemar, it says like this, Hakotvim maluach ale siach, those who uproot the tablet-like words by way of chatter. Now the tablet-like words by engaging. So the uproot the tablet-like, that's the Torah. You uproot the Torah by what? By siach, by chatter. Okay, that's not good. So the pasuk ends, v'shoresh resaim lachmon. Eventually, the root of the rasam kols will be their meal. Okay, that's the homiletical touch. What's the simple meaning? So the commentator says, the verse appears in a passage describing the degradation of men whose base characters made them unwelcome in towns. These men therefore foraged for meals in the wilderness. They would scrape moss from trees and rasam roots would be their food. Okay, that's a simple meaning, and this one gave you the deeper meaning. Okay, now this is all going out. So now there was a little bit of a break. We were talking about one of the heavens, weren't we?
Yeah.
So we kind of got off topic. Rish Lakish got us off topic because we were talking about the angels being quiet at night. So we're learning at night, and this is our whatever. So now we got to go back and say, how do I know that that place is, that Ma'on is indeed considered a Rakia, is indeed considered one of the skies? Umalanan de Ikri Shemaim. How do I know that this Ma'on is the fifth sky? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and you know this in Parshas Kisavo, that we say in the Bikurim, when you brought your Bikurim to Yerushalayim once a year, this is part of the Pasuk. You'd say, Hashkifa, Hashem, gaze down, mi Ma'on, kachecha, from the Ma'on, from the abode, your holy abode, mina Shemayim, from the heavens. So you see this word Ma'on and Shemayim put together. So that is the fifth heaven. Machon, the sixth heaven, is called Machon. What's going on over there? Shabo Otsros Sheleg V'Otsros Barod, in which the various storehouses of snow and storehouses of hail and other things are being prepared. Okay, now this is really punishments. Because look what it says, the word Machon connotes a storehouse of tribulation. This usage is similar to the pasuk says, Nachonu La'leitzim Shvatim, punishments loom for the scoffers. So this is a world where Hashem prepares things of punishments. And there's punishments of snow, punishments of hail. Va'alias tlolim royim valias agolim. And an attic full of destructive dews. And an attic full of beads of water. The things that cause destruction. Ve'chadra shel sufa usa'ara. And a chamber of whirlwind and storm. Uma'ara shel kitar. And a cave of vapor. And their doors of these rooms are fire. This is a place where Hashem is preparing all the stuff to give us punishments. Shenemar, how do we know this? It says, Yiftach Hashem l'cha es otzra hatov. Hashem shall open up for you his storehouse of goodness. But why do you have to call it a storehouse of goodness? Just say, open up his storehouse, which implies there's a storehouse of badness too. Okay? There's another storehouse. That's okay. Why would you have to just say, Hashem, open up your storehouse? If he's saying open up your storehouse of goodness, it means it's a storehouse of badness. So therefore, that's how they make the proof. So now, the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Hani Birakisnu, are these items in the heavens? You're talking about things we know down here, earth, wind, all that stuff, rain. Hani Ba'ara Isnu, these items are on earth. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Now what are we going to praise him for? From the earth. Taninim v'chol ta'amos, sea giants in all watery depths, Eish, fire, Ubarad and hail, Shelig and snow, Kitar and vapor. Look, these are all things that are from the earth, the Pasuk is saying now. Ruach Sara, stormy winds fulfilling, Osirah fulfilling his words. So we see all these items are in the earth. So what's going on over here? So it's a, are they up in the sixth firmament or on the earth over here? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Rav says, David bikesh aleihem rachamim v'horil arz. David beseeched Hashem for compassion concerning these items and succeeded in bringing these things down to the earth. What does that mean? Amar Lafanov, David said to Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael, lo Kael chafetz reshata. You're a God who does not desire wickedness. Lo yogurcha b'megurcha ra. And evil does not dwell with you. Tzadik ata, Hashem. Hashem, you are a tzadik. Right? That's what the pasuk is saying. Lo yagurcha b'mechora, and therefore an evil thing cannot be allowed in your dwelling place. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on over here. They were up there, and he told Hashem to bring it down. Is that what he's saying? So then they're not up there. Or are they up there? They were up there.
Not only that, since they're evil, why would we want to bring them down?
To punish the wicked people.
David beseeched Hashem to do that.
Well, if the person's bad and he's supposed to get punished, and that's a good thing for him, no?
I suppose so.
So now the Gemara wants to know, why is this thing called, how do you know it's called a heaven? How do you know that Machon is called a heaven? As the pasuk says, "Vata tishma hashamayim machon shivtecha." May you hear from heaven, Hashem. What and what heaven? The foundation, the machon of your habitation. So that's number six. All right, let's just quickly get to seven here. But seven is going to be a long one. We'll just start. Aravos, our plains is the seven heaven. Now this is, if it's the seventh, it's the closest one to Hashem. Now, the higher up you, now height is not physical height. It means like beyond. It's not physical. It's a realm that's a metaphysical realm. But it's the closest one to Hashem. What's over there? Shebo tzedek mishpat utztaka. In that heaven, there's righteousness, justice, and charity. Gin zechaim, treasuries of life. V'gin zeshalom, and treasuries of peace. V'gin zebracha, and treasuries of blessing. V'nishmasan shel tzadikim, and the souls of the righteous. Veruchos and neshama shasi libaros, and the spirits and the souls of people that are still yet to be created. Okay, the things that Hashem is going to bring us down into the world. Okay, and those are different levels of our soul. There's different levels of soul, and these are ruach and neshama are certain levels of soul. And also vital shasi hakadosh baruch hu, it's amazing, and the dew that will one day resurrect the dead. The dead will come back by the fact that Hashem will bring a certain type of dew that will come down, just like it was at Har Sinai. When Hashem gave the commandments, the Jews died, and Hashem put a dew on them, whatever that means, and to revive them. Okay, now, we're going to stop here. What's going to happen tomorrow is we have to source all this. All these things, how do you know they're in this seventh and highest realm? That's what the Gemara is going to get to tomorrow by bringing us psukim for that. Okay.